Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Well, today is a no-forecast edition of the Astrology Hour. Yeah, we are going to talk about the mutables today. The mutables happens to be part of astrology that we understand when we talk about a certain family of signs that seems to be very open-minded, very loving, very flexible, and also very absorbing. But they also tend to have a problem as to sometimes they can be either too conservative or uncentered, confused, off-balance, naive, and at the same time, they could also be the person that could be the fall guy, being taken advantage of, or just lose it. We're talking about fear. Now, when we talk about astrology, we talk about four basic element systems that we talked about last week when we discussed the aspects. And I'm talking about fire, earth, air, and water. Do you remember last week's show? You missed it? So sorry. In the fire groupings, Aries, Leo, and Sag, we found that planets in Aries, Leo, or Sag or complement each other. Elements complement each other in the same elements. So we can discover trine aspects are tremendous positive energy from planets in similar aspects, like fire, like earth, like air, and like water. The earth signs, once again, are Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn. The air signs are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And the water signs are Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. So where do the mutables come in, Farley? Well, it's very simple. You take the weakest, the most open-minded, the most confused, the most naive, the most susceptible to being lied to, stolen from, stolen to, or the person that would be the clumsiest, the foolhardiest, the nicest in the long run out of each grouping. And the question is, okay, this is getting good, Farley. Now, obviously, it's not Leo in the fire grouping. Leos aren't like that, are they? No. And it's not Aries. You know, they're too bullheaded to be like that, right? So in the fire grouping, the mutable fire, or the one that usually gets knocked around the most, is Sagittarius. There's a reason why we call it mutable. Mutable means open. It also means flexible. Now, in case you're wondering, we do take one sign out of each element for three specific families. The fixed grouping, which are the strongest of the families, which basically the fixed fire is Leo, the fixed earth is Taurus, the fixed air is Aquarius, and the fixed water is Scorpio. You don't want to mess with these. These are the people that are messing with the rest of the signs. The manipulators, the leaders, the bosses, the managers, the jokers, and such as that. Speaking of jokers, Batman's coming out. Anyway, the cardinal signs are usually too busy to pay much attention to anybody anyway. And so we find one of each element being cardinal, which are very initiating, powerful, inventive, and go-getting. They're like a freight train. So whereas the fixed grouping makes the quickest decisions, the cardinals are a real close second. Now, cardinal fire is Aries. Cardinal water would be Cancer. Cardinal air would be Libra. And then cardinal earth would be Capricorn. So we find Libra, Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, that grouping of cardinal signs, are very, very powerful people, very much go-getters, gophers, people that get things done. Now, the weak sisters of the astrology families are the mutables, which is what today's topic is all about. We may discuss the cardinals and the fixed later this week, but I thought I would spend time on the mutables because I notice that people that get the most therapy, people that spend most of the money learning how to be counselors. I want you to know a lot of your psychologists, psychiatrists, and astrologers are loaded with mutable planets. I have Jupiter in Sag and Uranus in Gemini, so I got two big planets in mutable signs. And you don't have to be a sun sign to qualify for mutables. If you have Moon, Venus, Mars, Rising, or Sun, or Jupiter in the mutable signs of Gemini, Pisces, Cancer, excuse me, let's do this one at a time. I don't want to confuse you. Mutable fire is Sag. Mutable Earth is Virgo. Mutable Air is Gemini. And Mutable Water is Pisces. So the weak sisters of the zodiac, and not to put them down, but unfortunately, if you do have mutable planets in your chart, then it is a lesson for you to be stronger, more decisive, more inventive, more initiating, and more centered and balanced. Because it is easy to wander from the center, or to run away, or to get scared, or to be too flexible, too open-minded, and too much of the whipping post when you have these energies in your chart. Once again, mutable fire is Sag, mutable earth is Virgo, mutable air is Gemini, and mutable water is Pisces. Now, a lot of times people say, what's your sign? And the person will say, well, I'm a Gemini. You're a Gemini? I'm a Pisces. Oh, you're a Pisces. It's like they have a reputation. People know Geminis and Pisces and Virgos and Sag. You know, Sagittarius have this quality of running. They're travelers, and if they get uncomfortable, they bolt. Virgos have the quality of shutting down. If you have Virgo planets and you're scared, what you do is you just close the shop and put up a wall. Gemini has the capability of being so confused they throw up a smoke screen, and Pisces just recoils. Just like a snail going back into the shell or a turtle going back into its shell, Pisces just retracts and hides. So usually when you find people, or if you look at your chart and you notice that you are a Pisces and you do have Virgo rising and you do have Moon and Sag, my friend Roger's Pisces was Sag Moon with Cancer rising, but it's funny that Roger was just telling me the other day he was using me and his father as a symbol of strength. Isn't it funny that he should use his symbols, fixed signs? His dad's fixed water, Scorpio. I'm fixed fire, Leo. It's interesting that if you look at show business, if you look at the winners of the cattle calls, of the record contracts, of the big movie contracts, the person that becomes president, right, is Scorpio rising, Bush, or an Aquarius sun like Reagan. You know. But oftentimes we do find a lot of fixed energies. The fixed fire Leo, the fixed earth Taurus, the fixed air Aquarius, and the fixed water Scorpio win a lot because they are so strong. The problem is if you're trying to build a team like a football team or a basketball team and you load it with fixed energies, then you're going to have a lot of chiefs and no Indians. So don't try to fill, you try to fill your corporation up with all these fire fixed energies, you're going to have a war. You want one man like Patton, who's a Scorpio, as general of your army, or Teddy Roosevelt, Scorpio, as president of the nation when we're in trouble, right? And you get these people, Abe Lincoln, Aquarius, you get these very, very strong personalities that are willing to take chances and take risks. Now, what happens to our children, and we also as children, as we are growing up in this environment, and we do have an abundance of this Virgo, Pisces, Gemini, Sagittarius energy. And you know, it's not an accident that we find an incredibly high frequency of homosexual and bisexual people with mutable planet emphasis on Virgo and Gemini in their charts. And I'm not saying that everybody with Virgo and Gemini is going to be homosexual, but I will say this, that if you try to condition your children one way or the other, when they're growing up, without knowing it, you can traumatize them along the lines of what you might call normal relationships, like heterosexual relationships. Like, let's take the incidence of the father who nails pounds into his daughter's head to stay away from men, that they're not good for you, you should be scared of them, that they will rape you and hurt you and use you or whatever, and she just happens to have Mars in Virgo and Venus in Gemini, which happens to be somebody I know, who happens to be a gay woman, a lesbian, and she not only doesn't want to be with men, she's frightened of them. She's frightened of a man's naked body, who doesn't want to touch it, and doesn't want to see it. And as an alternative, because she is so open-minded, a mutable person, she became a gay woman. She doesn't want to be alone, and it just so happens that her soul happens to be masculine, like I've talked about. You get a masculine soul and a female body with a few mutable planets, and a little bit too much of an intense childhood. Just so happens this girl was raised as a tomboy to be angry towards men. Now, how do you like that? So that's what happens. The reason why a lot of men, especially that call the show, have Venus or Mars in Virgo or Venus or Mars in Gemini, same way. Somewhere along the lines, their souls are female, right? They're in a male body. their mother or their father raised them to be frightened of women? I don't know if you've ever heard your father put women down. I mean, I know some men that when you sit there as kids, you hear them talking about women calling them the B word or the W word, or that they're all a bunch of these. And you grow up and hearing this over and over. And then when you meet a woman in real life, you're like, oh my God, daddy warned me about this. And you're afraid of involvement and attachment. So a lot of people with mutable signs end up bolting, not only in sexuality, but they bolt down radical roads of development and radical destiny paths that can lead them into unusual areas. Now, a lot of these people, because of their pain and because of their frustration and because of their fear, remember, number one, the open-minded grouping of human beings on this planet, the mutables, right, which are the Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, and Sagittarius, and people that have, I'd say, three or more in your chart would qualify for this topic, three or more of a score. In other words, if you total up your 11 planets and get three or more in Virgo, Gemini, Sag, or Pisces, you're there. You know, you are there. That means that you might have been naive and still are. As a child, oftentimes we find these kids easily directed and shaped to our wants, needs, and wishes. In fact, oftentimes these children become the monsters of our desires and our dreams, and they don't have their own, right? So they end up going down radical paths. When they end up going to school, they take up things like psychology and like psychiatry and like metaphysics because they want to understand why they're so frightened and why they've been so misdirected and why they're so hostile and why they have so much anxiety and anger. Because they've been sitting there, here's a little girl with Venus in Virgo, and her mother's encouraging her to be prudent. Oh, no problem. With Venus in Virgo, no problem. You want me to stay away from men? That's easy. It's already easy for a little girl with Venus in Virgo to be prudent or celibate. But when you've got a mother who's a Virgo, who's nailing it into your head like she's afraid you're going to run out and be a wild chick or something, it just compounds you becoming a monster of your mother's wishes. It could cut off all of her sex life. See what I mean? So, obviously, these people need to be encouraged to be themselves and to discover within what is important. Oftentimes, if I see a person with Virgo, Gemini, Pisces, and Sag in their chart, I will encourage them to manifest and create their own dream. I will often tell them to make a list of everything they can figure out that they have become in their lives. And a lot of people in their 30s and 40s think they've got it made. They've got a score of 6 or 7 in the mutable signs, and they've become just exactly what their mother, their father, their college professors, their friends and relatives wanted them to be. Exactly. And then I tell them to make a column with 60 qualities that defines their life, and then after that, take a yellow magic marker and yellow out every one of those qualities that your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, or anybody in your life wanted you to be. See, problems with people with mutables is they're always asking for advice. Give me a break. They don't know enough to look within for power. What they're always doing is looking for help from everyone else that, oh, is always ready to give them advice as to what to do, right? So they end up being a product of society and not a product of themselves. So when you're finished making out this list of all these qualities that you actually have become, and you've yellow magic markered most of it to realize it's not you, then you want to make a new column that is called New Values, or My Rebirth, and develop qualities that are totally alien to the first list. And you know what? You're going to be able to pierce the omniverse and pierce the multidimensional soul, the multidimensional self, and dig way down deep. It maybe open a little window to your intuitive mind and your higher self and grab something in there that you're supposed to be. That's different than what mommy and daddy and your college professor and your friends and your relatives and your therapists and all these people that you sought advice from and that you're not. Like, let's say you are a person that has a Virgo moon and you found it easy to be celibate in your life and you're proud of that. But you also were pummeled in your childhood by your female friends and your mother telling you to be frightened of men. Stay away from men. You might get pregnant. You might get VD. You might not have problems with this and that and that and that, AIDS or whatever. And you found out that you've only had a half a dozen sexual experiences in your life and maybe one orgasm, right? And that new column one of your values might be, I would like to be more of a romantic, sexy lady. The hell with this celibacy crap. Like, some people think they grow up, and especially those of us guys and girls that date you, and then are confronted with these antiquated values that have been punched into you from people that would try to use you, manipulate you, or actually develop values in you that are not yours, right? Because Virgo, Gemini, Pisces, and Sagittarius energy is very voluptuous energy. You might notice that sometimes people will call and I'll say, are you prudent? Are you celibate? It's not that I'm trying to play a game with them, because I know that the Virgo, Gemini, Pisces, Sag force is actually the most passionate. Do you know why? Because when they do let go, when they do evolve, when they do develop their own values, they are so open-minded, they're good students in bed. And they're good servers when it comes to love and romance. And they're very compassionate. So when they tear down that wall of conditioning and propaganda and of being a good little prisoner of war when they grew up, honey, do the dishes. Honey, would you cook dinner? Honey, would you make your bed? Honey, would you clean the house? Would you clean the bathroom? Would you clean the pool? Would you clean the cars? It's like you get all these little kids going, yes, Mom, yes, Mom. They're good kids. But they're being used by their parents and their environment. And when they grow up to become adults, and we meet them in real life, we find out that they're scared, and they're confused, and they're off-center, and they have a fear of involvement, and a fear of intimacy, and a fear of rejection, and a fear of manipulation. And why is that? Because they have been raped and used and manipulated by their own families when they were raised. And now they're afraid that the stranger here, somebody that we manifested to come into our life that may be a soulmate, is going to do the same thing our parents did. No way that these people are going to do the same thing and as much damage as our parents would have helped us accumulate emotionally or mentally. And the heavy part of today's topic, and I want you to kick back here and relax and put your feet up, is that there is no one to blame but yourself. I'm not doing this topic for you to be angry at anyone but yourself, because you chose your parents, and you chose your chart karmically, and you arranged to have these mutables, and you arranged to be naive and susceptible to manipulation, and maybe you arranged to hear this topic so you could begin your own rebirth, too. See what I mean? It's like everything in the universe is metaphysically perfect. It happens for a reason. And we are there because we are meant to grow and evolve and throw off the shackles of enslavement, the shackles of obsession, the shackles of conceit and naivety, the shackles of thinking we're the experts, know-it-alls, and the ones that know all the answers. And instead of searching through psychiatrist books and through counselors and whatever, it's time to meditate, regroup, center yourself, get that computer out or that paper and pencil, design some new values for the new you, and help manifest a rebirth so you can be that much happier and throw off all this negative advice and conditioning that you've been susceptible to if you have this mutable stuff. And I'm not saying that what you are is bad. If you are comfortable with being the victim or the target of other people using you, if you are comfortable with exactly what your parents have made you be, frankly, when I realized the part of me until I was 30, I was the product of being Fred. I wasn't Farley. When I became 31, 32, they rebelled when they saw me developing some of my own personal values. And I first realized, wow, I was really a pretty good little boy there. And I thought to myself, well, it's time for me to be bad, because I'm going to start doing things that they don't want me to do, and I'm going to start doing things that Farley wants to do. And I don't put my parents down for that, because they did what they thought was best. And usually, when you're a parent, you think that you want to raise a child to become just like you, like you're perfect, right? What you really should be doing is encouraging that child to be themselves, whatever that self is. I'm not trying to tell you how to raise your kids, but I was a kid once, so maybe I have some experience. The wonderful thing about this show and the wonderful thing about astrology is that the more that we learn about astrology, the more we get into a science of self-realization. Knowing what your score is for fixed families or for cardinal families or mutable families, or knowing what your score is for fire, earth, air, and water are factors that you can understand in your life that can help explain to you more what you are all about and what you've been more susceptible to as far as education and knowledge and stuff like that. as far as what kind of conditioning or karma you might have. So when people get involved in getting their charts, definitely they find that their whole lives change, a whole new color spectrum comes in, and a lot of things are explained. Now, interesting reason why I'm doing this topic is because what I would like you to know is that the mutable signs all stress each other. Let's make that clear. If you want to understand astrology, unless you're talking opposites, each family, cardinal, fixed, and mutable, if you attach them from one line to another, all the cardinals, if you attached the Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn, you would get a box. Or you'd get actually a symbol that shows you that they each square each other, is what they do. And the opposites oppose each other. So you end up with a grand square and a grand cross when you connect the four cardinals. The grand square and the grand cross happens to be the symbol of ancient Atlantis. That was what their flag was, in case you wondered. So let's talk about astrology-based. Same with the fixed. If you connect Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, and Scorpio, you will get a little box. And you connect the opposites, Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, and Scorpio, and you get a cross. So don't you understand? The more you have of these elements in your chart of any one of these families, cardinals, fixed, or for today's topic, mutable, like if you have Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, and Sag, they make a nice box because they square each other around the circle. And the opposites, Pisces and Virgo, and Sag and Gemini, oppose each other. Now, opposites will either attract or they will repel. Depending on what the karma is, sometimes opposites will make it, sometimes they won't. But the point is that I want you to understand that if you have these elements in your chart, Pisces, Virgo, Sag, or Gemini, the mutables, you have more than one element and they are in square or opposition to each other, then this topic today is your karma. This confusion, this uncentering, this unbalancing, this lack of direction, this lack of motivation, this lack of being able to take responsibility, that's your karma. And whenever you get together with other people that have mutable factors in their chart, that square mutables or sometimes oppose the mutables in your chart, then they also will serve as catalysts for karma. You're already confused enough as it is, or scared enough as it is. Here you are attracting somebody of the same quality. When you really need a cardinal or a fixed person to help give you some self-realization, sometimes you attract a similar energy in your life, and that way you think that that's good for you, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. Now also, and what's most important about today's topic, is that we are having a major mutable transit because Mars and Jupiter are in Gemini. And whenever we have these transits, when Mars and Jupiter are in one of the families, then that means all the other parts of the families are stressed. So people right now with early Virgo are getting Mars and Jupiter squares from Gemini with early Pisces. And soon the rest of Virgo and Pisces are going to get, they're getting Mars and Jupiter squares too. And then early Sag are getting oppositions. So a lot of people right now are in a very confused, uncentered state, and they're dealing with the conditioning you got it from the childhood. It's like these transits occur when you felt like a confused, uncentered, frightened little boy or little girl. And right away, mommy and daddy told you what you had to do to be better for it. They gave you the answer, right? And then you accepted that as your mindset. And because Gemini rules the mind in psychology, this was the sort of thing that keeps you enslaved to your conditioning, to the philosophies of people that are around you that would try to manipulate you and condition you. And the point of today's topic is to encourage you to bust out of that, rebirth, and become your true self. That's who I'm dedicating this show to.